Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Plus Ones podcast with me, James O'Keefe. Before I introduce our next podcast guest, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to all of you gorgeous people out there who are listening, subscribing, writing reviews, watching. Anything you're doing to get involved on this podcast is so appreciated, and I couldn't imagine, you know, when I launched that it would get such great comments and some love that you guys are sending. So again, thank you so much. Keep listening, keep watching, keep reviewing and keep commenting. Thanks again. This week's episode 4 is with the amazing Marcel Badian Robin. I hope I've said that right, buddy. Sorry if I haven't. He's the husband of Fleur East, and this week we talk about what an amazing kind of partnership they are and how important it is to be a real team, particularly in the music industry and the entertainment industry. He and Fleur are both super hard workers and you know, just unbelievably positive people. He's a really interesting guy, and I got to talk to him and hear about his story, you know, coming into the country, and it would absolutely blew me away. So I know you guys will enjoy this. I had an amazing time with him. Please listen, please watch, please review, and yeah, enjoy. Sending massive love. Thanks, guys. Okay, here we are again.
Yep.
Excellent. Bye. And today I've got another guest, Marcel Robin.
Yes.
I'm trying to do my little French accent there.
Sounds good.
Join us in the secret studio.
Yeah. Looks what amazing.
It's all right.
I love the setup.
We're getting there, you know. Yeah. We try to make it a little bit homely, you know. Get some random pit. I don't know who that guy is.
That's you, right?
No way, man.
Are you sure?
So, let everyone know who your amazing partner is, brother.
Fleur East. Yes.
Nice. Okay, amazing. And how long have you been together?
I feel like forever, though. Since I was born. But yeah. No, I'm joking. But I think it's been 11 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been over 11 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember, to be honest.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just...
When you've been with someone, you feel like you've been with them your whole life, but it's like, you know, it's just a mad one. Well, I've been with Bev like 13 years, and I feel like I've known her forever.
Yeah.
But then it still feels quite fresh in other ways, which is quite nice.
I mean, that's the exciting part. If, yeah. I mean, that's good sign, right?
Yeah.
If you've been with somebody and you're like, oh, but it's just weird. Like, you just feel like everything, like, since you've been with that person, your whole life stopped. And it's like there, and there haven't been anybody else before that. So it's very interesting. Yeah. But I feel like it's been... In a weird way, it's been like long, but at the same time, it feels fresh.
I know, yeah.
So, which is good.
Do you think that's, obviously, I know, you spend a bit of time together, but you're obviously doing your own things as well. And, you know, so she's probably here, there, everywhere. You are sometimes. So you don't get to see each other as much. I think that helps as well.
It plays a big part, definitely. Like if you, obviously she travels a lot, and I do spend a lot of time on my own as well. Mm. So it's, I guess that makes a big difference. But obviously when we got together, we used to be together all the time. Mm. But I mean, the lockdown was very interesting because we kind of got to spend, I think this is the most I've seen her since, I don't remember, 08, man. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I don't even count anymore.
Bev didn't say it was amazing. I think she's sick of me. I don't blame her. I'd get sick of you as well.
It's just like, amazing.
12
yeah.
hours a day.
At first, it was kind of like, not difficult, but you kind of, everybody, it's weird because it feels like it's a new relationship.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
trying to find their feet. Yeah. And then eventually, you just, it was just like, because you got it upstairs and downstairs. Sometimes she's upstairs, I'm downstairs. And, but, you know.
See, that's the important thing, I think, is having your own space, even in the house.
Yeah.
If you've got a small flat, like my friends recently had to move, they were having work done on a house and it all went wrong with the house. They had to move into a small flat. They had three dogs in this small flat, two of them, like two big dogs and two, it was just insane. So that,
you know, me and her, like, I guess everybody had their own space. So she would do a thing, I'd do my thing, because she does the radio in the morning. So she do whatever she does, and sometimes I like to go out, like just come out of the house a little bit, a little drive. So yeah, we respect each other's space, and I think that's one thing that we learn.
Yeah,
being together for so long.
Yeah.
So we know we need Yeah.
When to shut up.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
Hey, that's the one.
I put it on silence as well. Don't know why.
This is shows, you know, this is proper TV, so it's fine. This is what happens in these.
Silence. Should I just turn it off? I don't know.
So take us back. So how did you guys get together? What was the story behind it? And,
very interesting. Because basically we met in a club. I used to work in a club. I used to be a waiter in a club. And then I met her a year prior before we got together. But when I met her, she had a boyfriend. So nothing really happened. We just spoke, connected. And then, yeah. Nice. And after that, you know, we went our own ways. And I didn't see her for like a year or so. And one day I had a friend from Paris visiting. And I took him to another club. And guess what? I popped in a club. The first thing I saw was her. I was like, yo. And we started talking. And I said, do you remember me? He said, of course I do. And then... And I was like, oh, are you single? She said, yes. So I was like, yes.
He's like, go on, son.
Yeah, then, like, listen, the rest is history, man. Like, yeah. At that point, we just kind of clicked and spent a lot of time together. And then, you know, it's just from there, it's just, yeah, everything just went on.
Snowball. Yeah. And what was she doing then?
She, actually, when I met her, she just graduated. She finished. And then she was in a girl group. And I remember she invited me. Oh, I'm performing at this place. Come and see me.
Okay.
So the next day, I think 2 days later, I came to see her. But she was in a girl group trying to figure out really what to do.
Mm-hmm. And how old was she?
We were 20 something, right? 21, nice. Something like that. Yeah, and then she was looking for a job too. So I said to her, listen, I can get you a job in a club. She's like, okay. Like, but to be fair, she was grinding. She was doing. She had like free job. She was rehearsing every day. She was in a girl group, just grinding crazy. And to me, that was very inspiring to see, she following a dream and not letting go. So I find her like a job in a club where I felt like she could have made more money than doing 3 jobs and just working in, so she can focus a bit more on rehearsing and, you know, being in a group. And then, nice. Funnily enough, one of the jobs I got her, she met a guy called Steve Long. He was a manager for Mystique. He used to manage Mystique.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think there was an event going on then. And the manager said, oh, yeah, we got this girl, Fleur. She can sing. She's all coming. And then she sang for Steve in the club.
No.
And yeah, so he signed them as a, you know, like the group, the
oh,
group
really?
That she was, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't
so
know.
He started looking after them. And then obviously he's the guy that got the job with DJ Fresh, the touring, you know, all that stuff. So kind of got like a record deal, independent label. So, you know, everything just happened.
It's mad, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you got to put yourself in them situations sometimes. Weird how those
in a club, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So she could have been shy, like, no, I don't want to sing. But
yeah,
like that in a way was the catalyst of, you know.
It's that thing, you got to put yourself in uncomfortable positions. Sometimes,
it's,
you know,
very important,
you know, it's like you turn up somewhere, you don't want to talk to people, you don't want to do anything. Sometimes you just got to step up and do it because you don't know where it's going to go.
Always. I think
it's funny because with Bev, I think that's how our roles have kind of come on. I'm sure you're the same. You're like, she's doing her thing on stage or whatever, and I'm chatting to people, you know, seeing what's going on and who's there and networking and trying to, like, you know, just see how we can help people or further things, or, you know, and that's, I think that's part and parcel of it, isn't it?
It is. It's teamwork, you know. And then I feel like people come in your life for a reason. Yeah. And I think, like, I mean, I feel like, I mean, some people might not believe, or I'm a firm believer in God. So I just think sometimes you place people in somebody's life to answer their prayers. Mm. It's not necessarily like you're not doing the job for them, but it's just like what they pray for. You just need that one piece. You know, I mean, we always need people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just like, you know, but you got to be ready at all the time. I mean,
it's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard to, I agree with you on the time as well. I'm not, you know, I'm not a believer in, God per se, but I believe in something. I believe there's a power like that runs through all
a
of
higher
us.
Being.
I don't know about how there's just an energy that runs through all of them. I don't know what that is, but there's something that connects us on a different level. You know what I mean? And I just think there's people that can come into your lives at different
moment.
Places and different moments. You just never realise. And some of them, even when bad things happen, and this is what I say to a lot of people, you have to find the good from any bad situation. Always. There is always something. Yeah. However
silver
hard
lining,
it is,
man. It's always
however
a silver
hard
lining.
It is, it, like, because sometimes, man, you've got to sift through that.
Yeah, there's always a silver lining, man. And then it's always very interesting how I see, like, how us human we react all the time. And it's like emotion and, you know, like you always got to think about this thing. Like, our emotion actually run us, and you know, it's just all the time we act on emotion every single time.
It's a monkey brain. Have you read the book?
Actually, I haven't read the book, but I mean, I heard of it.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Very interesting how, you know, like, subconsciously we do things we don't even realize, and then you realize you haven't even thought about it, and it's just that situation of, but everything that happened in life happened for a reason and there's a purpose, and it's like,
yeah,
I mean, you always got to see the silver lining in every single situation, and
but you have to stay on that positive vibe as well, don't you? Because you start going down the negative, yeah, and those negative things out,
like they follow.
Man, when I was young, every, like in my 20s, I'd always think, oh, why is this going, you know, why is all these bad things happening? Or because I was doing bad shit.
Of course.
You know, it's like, there isn't, like, bad stuff doesn't happen to you because you're doing, you know, good. Sometimes bad stuff happens when you're doing good, but usually if you're doing good things with good people and a good heart and a good, you know, good things happen.
Yeah.
But when you're doing bad shit, it, like, things start to tumble, don't they? They go, like, when you're slipping around.
It's normal, like, man. It's just, I think, like, you know, bad thinking always going to harvest good action, good circumstances. But obviously, life is not fair. No. You can be like the most perfect person ever, anything. But the thing is, this is the thing I always see as, we can do good things, but eventually, maybe in one area in our life, we're gonna do one bad thing, and that bad thing might be the cause of that one bad thing that happens. So how do you really define, you know? Because as a human, we're not perfect, right? You wake up every day, you do things, and as good as you want to be, you're always going, like, do something, have a bad thought.
It's a mess,
so,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So you will never know, you know, I understand we always talk about positivity and you got to be positive to, you know, like, do all these things, but you will never know what the consequences of a bad situation is. Is it something that you've done that was bad, like, I don't know, in the morning that affected that? Or is it just, you know what I'm saying, until you actually take off all the bad action from your life or all the good action, you will never be able to, like, you know, really define what is it. But I think it's key. It's very important to have that mindset.
So,
you know,
have you,
yeah,
take us back even further. So have you and Fleur as well, is she a positive person as well?
Yeah, very positive.
Right.
She's one of the most positive person I've ever met in my life. And that's why I'm with her. I mean, I keep the balance, but she's very, like, smiley. She come in the room. I said like she lived in Disneyland. That's what I always said to her. I said, you live in Disney, man. Like, the world could be collapsing around her and she's still gonna be like there smiling and, like, you know, just,
I love
it. Yeah, it's crazy. But now she kind of changed a little bit since her dad passed away.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, she's a bit more, like, sensitive, wary, but I mean, that kind of, but that's normal, you know? That's just normal.
Again, it's another lesson. Yeah. It's another life lesson that is hard, you know, when you lose a parent.
It's tough, man. It's a tough journey.
It is a tough show. I mean, I lost my dad at 16, you know, and that, it's not a good time, but there's no good time, you know.
Never.
There isn't, whether you're old or young. I don't believe that there's a better time to lose your parents. No. It's like, that's not good.
You're never going to be prepared for it.
No, I agree. And I think it's, but it does teach you some stuff, you know.
Definitely.
You have to, again, take things from that and learn from it. And, you know,
but it's life, you know. It's like, I mean, I did not grow up with my father, so he passed away. I remember when I came to London. So to me, it was,
so tell us about it, because you're obviously not originally from London.
No, I'm from Senegal, man.
Tell us your journey.
I got a crazy journey.
Come on, tell us, this is good stuff.
I don't really talk about it much, but yeah, I'm going to...
Today's the day, brother.
For the first time, really, I'm gonna put it on the line. Yeah, right. I was actually born in Dakar, Senegal.
Okay.
So my parents divorced, like, when I was super young. So, like, my mom got with my dad, like, super young. I think she was, like, maybe 17, 18. It was an arranged marriage in a way, you know, like they do in Africa.
Yeah.
So my mom was born in a small village. So she got married to my dad, got three kids. I think I was probably, like, about a couple of months old or a year. They divorced. So my mom got kicked out of the house. So she had, like, plastic bags, three kids. No education, nothing, you know? So it's just like left in the wild. So what she did, she kind of split us up. So my sister stayed with the nun, my brother stayed with, like, the whatever. Obviously I was younger, so she stayed with me for a while. And, you know, that was it. And then she had to figure out how to make ends meet, you know what I'm saying? And and I remember, like, the last sentence my dad told her before she left is like, you're going to roam around and come back, eat, you know? And that sentence never left her head. And that was her why. But she felt like, you know, I gotta do it. And then back home, like, my mom didn't have no education, nothing. All she did was just work. And, you know, she kind of went into, like, modern slavery in a way, because when she was young, her parents passed away very young. So she was bouncing around houses and, you know, they were making her work, maids, you know, like she went through a hard time.
Yeah.
So when she
it's not that long ago, you know what I mean?
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's just mad. And then obviously growing up, like, I didn't see my mom much. She was always traveling, yeah. And she used to go to like bars, sell alcohol, and take me on the back and make me sleep on the couch while she's hustling, like, you know. So I was pretty much separated from my siblings, and my brother obviously went through the craziest hard time ever, and you know, like, but she always made sure we're okay, you know. Like, mom, that's the thing. My mom always told me, said, "Listen, I brought you this earth, so it's my responsibility to make sure you're fine." So she was a father and a mother at the same time, but I really met my dad, I think, like twice. One time is like when I was younger, she came to see me. And I mean, he came to see me. And then the second time, I think when he was ill, when he was like pretty much before he passed away. But my mom forgave all of that. And she got such a big heart, because when my dad was super ill, passing away, she's the one who looked after all the, she looked after him, paid for all the bills. And I mean, it was a journey to even guide us here, you know, because...
Yeah, but you obviously get that, your optimism and your
everything from her. Yeah, because she was loving, man. And I remember, like, growing up, we had so many people in the house. We didn't have much, but she always opened the house to everyone. She raised all the kids beside, like, you know, even on top of us. Right. So, you know what I mean? And she managed to make it out somehow. And then I lived in Dakar. I was with my grandma, so I had like my pigs. You know, I used to walk like 20 kilometers to go and just fetch food. And like, I had pigs. I had like, you know, during the season, we used to like, you know, like harvest a lot of things, rice, sell some, use some.
How old were you?
I was mad young. I was probably like 6, 7. Yeah.
Can you remember? I remember vividly
everything, man. Like, I mean, some part you probably not, but this is the thing that you can't, like, period of my life was so important that I cannot, like, you know. And then she managed.
I had it pretty tough when I was young. It wasn't easy. Yeah. But when, like, you hear stories like yours, is like,
I mean, it's always in every level, there's a new devil. Everybody's on a stage in their life. So no matter how, like, tough my story is, there's always going to be somebody that has a tougher story. Or your story, all stories matter.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah.
So, and after that, we went to Guinea-Bissau. And then, like, we were, like, you know, she managed to make it quite big. We had, like, companies.
Really?
Yeah, she was doing very good.
No joke,
yeah, I know. Mom, serious, man. Like, you need to meet her one day. But
she's still alive.
She's in France. Yeah. She's my role model, man. And I look up to her a lot, you know. Okay. So
it's powerhouse.
Because I always feel like, yo, if she did it, I can.
Yeah.
She did it without the tools. So there's no excuse.
Not like properly nothing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we went to Guinea-Bissau, and then we had everything. The war started. We lost everything. So I was a refugee for a while. I had to go back to... It was kind of crazy. So I had to go back. Almost died, man. We got shot out. Like, bro, I've seen, you know, it was crazy. Like, when the boat, people, like, blood.
Can you remember that as well?
Yeah, that's the kind of trauma you can't never forget. Because that's very traumatizing. Because I remember when the war started, it was a Saturday. Like, I remember it so clear. And I came out of the house, this little kid, and I had this little pistol, you know, like a... we had a car, because my mom had a transport company. We had this car that was broken, so the mechanic was fixing it outside the house.
Yeah.
And I came out, and I just heard the bullet, like, the shooting. And I was like... And I looked at it, and I saw, like, there's a military convoy moving there, and they got shot at. And my mom just ran, caught me, took me in the house. And, bro, it was crazy, man. It was crazy. Like... And for like 3-4 months, like, shooting every single day. And I remember, like, we didn't have no food left. I used to drink Pepsi every single day. That was the water that we had. Everything was cut off, no lights. And then we had to leave the country. And my mom, like, this is how crazy it was. We had one car.
Were you like 9, 10 years old?
Yeah, man, before I went back to Dakar. So we had this car, we put everything in. My mom just took the car, taped it, put like a flag, like a Red Cross flag, and put a thing in. And we started driving. But when we were driving, they were shooting us. And literally, man, we drove to the French embassy, got there, got inside, and he was, bro. And then after that, a couple of days, we had to go to the port. And then there was like the army. So we were walking like in a line. We got to the port. They put us in a boat. And as the boat was going, bro, they started bombing the boat. And I thought it was crazy. Like, the bomb hit like right there, and then the boat tilted like second. And he was just... And I remember going down since I, but my mom was seasick.
This is like, we need to make a film out of this. Crazy. Where's my guy, Jay? We need to make a film out of this, dude.
Yeah, bro, like, real talk, yeah. My mom was seasick, and she was there, couldn't move, and I was this little kid going around. And but when I was in the boat, they put also the people from the Senegalese army that were in there. So there was bodies, like, blood everywhere. And I was just like, it's just, It was crazy, man. And the only part I remember is like sleeping and waking up in Dakar,
right,
and being in a hotel. Like after that, that's just you, like everything else was kind of like a blur.
It's mad how our minds do that.
Yeah, it was just blocked everything. Everything else was a blur. All I remember waking up being in a hotel and just like, yeah. And then I had to do my exam that same month. So literally I had to go. And I did my exam, passed them, and then we had nothing, bro. And then there I was there. And then my mom had to go and pick up my brother because my brother used to live with my dad. But he was treated like very badly. He was literally like, my brother's story is another different thing, bro. Like my brother's story is even worse. That's what I'm saying to you. Like when I look at it, because he went to the Foreign Legion, he was in the army, he served two different armies. But he went through a lot of like crazy times, you know, like.
So he had to go into the Foreign Legion to try and get his mind.
And funny enough, not even that. Like when because to come to Paris, he came with my passport. It's crazy. My brother came to Paris with my passport because he couldn't come. So what happened is my mom gave him my passport.
And just winged it.
Yeah, they winged it. He came. Yeah, it was my passport. So when he came to Paris, he just went straight to the Foreign Legion. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, that's a whole nother different discussion. Sick, yeah. But yeah, that's long story short. Yeah, I was in Senegal, went to France, studied, played a lot of sports. And then after that, I came to London. I was supposed to stay for 3 months. Never went back. And again, when I came here, it was very tough. I did all type of jobs. Mm. I cleaned plates. Like I was dishwasher. I was like about 21. Yeah. Dishwasher. Didn't speak a word of English. Yeah. Nothing. Just came in the, you know, wilderness. Lived in a room with like seven, eight people. Bro, I just started grinding.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go back because I was like, oh, I have to do something in my life. And I wasn't really happy in Paris. And then I was like, yo, because my mom was like, oh, you shouldn't go, stay. But I just decided to stay. Stubborn. Something I got from her, and then I just start working my way around things, and you know, it wasn't easy, but
dude, that is a mind blower.
I've just shortened it, but it's a lot. I've been through a lot of stuff, man. I've been through like 4 or 5 car accidents and you know, like stuff like that in my life. But I always said my life was built like on tragedy, you know, but those tragedies made me who I am.
Do you feel though that is like that is part of your journey that you have, you know, that you just had to go through, that you have to go through. Like you don't feel like it's you without the story.
The story made me who I am. Like, and at the end of the day, I don't regret anything. I don't regret, like, I always feel like, you know, like it's funny because I was talking to my friend last time, say, well, maybe you should go to therapy. And I'm like, I've done my own therapy in a way because I had such a strong mom that everything I went through at the time, I did not realize because I was just seeing it and I was going through the emotion.
So yeah, so that's like your story is what made
it's part of what I am. People, it's just,
people have said that about me about therapy and stuff, and honestly, I know people that have done therapy, and honestly, they're more fucked up than I am. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I think you know what? I've had to get myself through a lot of different things, like yourself. You know, I've had to do a lot of different things to make myself feel better, or to you know, and I still everything's a journey now. You know. Do cold water therapy in the morning and meditation and all of these things to just to, you know, to be a better human being and be easier to be around. But I do, like I say to my niece and nephews now, if they're going through struggles or whatever, these hardships make you. They do. They make you. They give you that bit of steel. Yeah. You know, they give you that steel to push through things. And you know, you're a prime example of it. And your mum, and your brother, and your sister.
Yeah, my sister. Yeah.
Right. And where are they over here?
They live. My sister lives in Senegal. I mean, she's always back and forth Senegal and France. My brother is in France now. He's doing pretty well. And then, funny enough, like 2 years ago, I went and found out that like my real dad had like maybe 9 other kids and stuff. And then some of them we were like born in the same year and you know stuff like that. It was kind of very interesting, but it was just I've forgiven him, you know. Like when I was young, I had a lot of resentment, you know. But the biggest thing I regretted is like never had a chance to like speak to him now, when everything is, you know, like because obviously he's not here no more. That's what I always say to people, like you can't. Doesn't matter what you go through in life, you can't take anything for granted. Life is so fragile, so you have to handle it with care. So when you love somebody and then you got a chance to talk to them, no matter what situation or whatever it's going through between you two, you got to sit down and talk about it and just squeeze it. Because it's I don't want the last thing to remember of somebody's pain and, you know, hate. But obviously, he's never been in my life, never looked after me and stuff. But when he went, I remember my mom called me and said, your dad passed away, and I cried. And he felt kind of weird because at the same time, he was a stranger. It's like crying for a stranger, but that stranger is the person that created you.
Yeah.
So I cried without even understanding why I was crying.
Yeah.
You know, I had a tattoo of him in here, but like, I've never even been to his tomb or anything. And but I had to, like, there was a healing process and a separation of me, like a personal, you know.
Doesn't matter how much, like, if someone's your blood, doesn't matter how much you think you hate them or you've, you know, issues or whatever, they're your blood, you're part of them.
You are,
you're inextricably linked. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you have feuds with brothers, sisters, whatever, you know, I don't always get on with my family the best, you know, but it's, you know, my dad was complicated, you know, he was an alcoholic and all of, you know, the classic kind of stuff. And he died and just left like a tsunami of issues with, for everyone, you know what I mean? And that, you know, you struggle for a lot of years trying to come to terms with
that. But that made you who you were, and I always look at it as like, I thank him for not being in my life. If he was in my life, would I have been the man that I am today?
100%.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, so I thank him. I always look at it like, thank you 100%. For not being there.
Yeah.
The way you were supposed to be there. Yeah. I mean, if there is a right or wrong way, because he could have been there, would I turn out the man that I am? Maybe not, perhaps not. So at the end of the day, I forgive him, I thank him for just giving me life, period. And that's to me is enough. And my mom, you know, fulfilled the role and she did it greatly.
Yeah.
And I always thank her for it. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
That's what I had as well, a really good mum.
Yeah,
I think
very
when
important.
You have a good mum, like it's not nice having a role model when you're young. Yeah. A lot of these kids now are struggling with that, without having a role model.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's a big thing.
It's a big issue for sure.
It is, because, you know, I know, because I was that angry kid, and I'm sure you were as well, up to no good and fighting and doing this, that and the other. And, you know, but having a mum who's solid helped me. It just grounds you, you know.
I think it's very important. Like, it's not every mum that can fulfill that role.
Nah.
That's what I'm saying. Because you gotta, like, I talk about, like, the present days, like, in all this community, when you go to, like, you know, people with in a lower class, when the father is not there, they have a mom that gotta, like, you know, go to work, got three kids, gotta feed them. Like, what time? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she doesn't have a time to come and give attention to each kid the way she would like to.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I always think, like, I don't know why my father behave the way he behaved. I don't know what happened. I don't blame him for everything, because I've never had a conversation for him to really pour his heart to me.
Don't know his story.
That's
the other thing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's what I always think. Yeah. Everyone's got their own story. Everyone's got their own issues.
Exactly.
That they
you know
had
what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I don't know what battles he was fighting. Why did he leave? I don't understand it. And I never got a chance to talk to him. So I will never understand it. And that's what my biggest regret is, like, we never had a chance to really speak as an adult where I can sit down like today, like face to face, and have that conversation and be like, okay, right, explain to me what actually really happened, you know, like, and hear it from his mouth and really hear his version. Because I always heard, like, my sister saying this, my mom saying this, but I don't really truly understand, because I don't believe any human being will have a kid and just walk away from them. You know what I'm saying? Like, willingly.
What's the reason? Yeah, you're right. What is that in depth?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I agree. When someone does something to
there's a reason behind,
like, to their kids or whatever, they ignore them. Yeah. They're hurting inside.
There's a
they're
reason
dying
behind. Yeah,
inside.
Because that's yours. That's your blood. Yeah. That's your DNA. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you cannot ignore that.
I know.
But I think that's
people
what I
do
said.
It.
Yeah.
Like, and I do. You're right. I wonder, like, how can you push those feelings?
There's a why.
There is, but like, they push them feelings so far down.
There's
man.
Always
it's
a why.
So toxic,
you know, it's always a why. There's a reason. It might be like, he was influenced by his sisters, but I mean, I heard a lot of stories that my mom telling him about. You know, at the end of the day, he's not even here, and I'm like, all I gotta say is just nothing but good thing about him, because he gave me life, and that alone is priceless. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it is what it is. I've moved on from it, forgive them, and you know, it's life. We're here, and then
man, it is. So you see, you know what I mean? Your connection with Fleur on kind of when you met. Was it just an instant? You just knew, you know, family, because you know, coming from. You were over here on your own as well,
Yes.
So when you met someone and felt, this is a connection, it was like...
Yeah, I was very
strong.
Welcome. We connected. She introduced me to her mum. She treated me like, you know,
nice.
Her own.
Yeah,
The dad, rest in peace, Malcolm, you know. I love dearly. But they welcomed me, man. They treated me like their own. And I felt home. I felt loved and I felt cared for. And then we just... To be honest, we just connected, man, and it was just
nice to have that early from a young a young man, you know, to get another family, because you know I met Bev at like 31, I think, or something like that, and I'd not really had any, like, you know, father figures or anything in that period, or you know, I'd seen my family a bit, but not loads, you know, I'd had a bit of a tricky time, but I got with Bev and her family just. You know, and her brother-in-law isn't like my brother. You know, he's just to get in that nucleus. And I think that's that Jamaican, like, Jamaican descent. Her mum's Jamaican, dad was Jamaican, and all that. It's just a war. It's just a family warmth and energy that I'm. Mm. You know, it's just everyone. Everyone's always together, and like you know,
it's amazing. Mad. Yeah, it's like yeah, it's just like the African. Because she's from Ghana, I'm from Senegal.
Yeah,
I mean like. We kind of look like each other in a way. Like I look a lot like her, a lot of people in the family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Ghanaian and Senegalese are very similar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like skin
some
complexion.
Some people say that Bev is her...
Where's she from?
Jamaica. Oh, like gotcha. Her mum's Jamaican. But they say there's a Ghanaian...
Oh,
yeah, I think
you should do the DNA test, though.
Yeah, I know. She should. You know what? Because she wants... They were trying to find out more...
Ancestry.
They wanted to go on who do you think you are?
Yes.
On BBC, you know, but they couldn't find out the right information because all the records in Jamaica and blah, 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 blah. So she'd love to know more about her.
Yeah, definitely. There's like a lot of things you can do out there. Actually, I got my tester. I've done it and what happened is they lost something. So they sent me back. I need to do it again. But it's pretty like you pay like a package and you do like the ancestry. They tell you like about where you're from, like all the percent. It's very, very, it's very.
Bev wants me to get it done. Yeah, she's always feeling the back of my head going, It's, you've definitely got black in you. It's like it's Afro.
We all the same.
I know.
Oh god, like, I believe that we all the same.
I might have the Irish in me, so it's like an apparent. You know, apparently you go back to like the black Irish kind of. You know, the Spanish Irish, and then the slaves were sleeping with some people. You know, so there was all like
a mix.
Oh man, it's a
we
mix.
All listen. We're all human. We're all cousins. We all.
Well, unless you talk to some people, they think they're like,
but, you know, like that's ignorance. That's just like you know, it's about education, ignorance, and those people like you know. No matter what facts you show them, they tend to refuse it and not accept it because it's all about your product, your environment, how you've been educated, your parents and parents. So you're always trying to defy that reality and just run away from it. But at the end of the day, listen, bro, we believe the same. It don't matter. Yeah, it's irrelevant.
It is. It's been I see you guys. Obviously, Fleur's been strong on Black Lives Matter and stuff recently. It's been a strong issue.
A tough journey. Actually, it's funny enough, situation happened to me, I think, 3 days ago. But, I mean, I haven't even spoke about it. I was driving back. I dropped my friend home, and I was driving back home, and I got followed by this police guy. So I'm pulling up in the house, and by the time I've seen this police car behind him, I'm like, I'm stopped. I looked at him, and he's like, excuse me, because I thought he wanted to just drive by. So I pulled up, and he looked at me and said, yo, whose car is that?
What's first question?
Yeah, he said, whose car is that? And I looked at him like, really? Like, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. You see me parking in my house and you just, whose car is that? I don't reply. I just parked and he comes up and looked at me. He's like, whose car is that? Because obviously the car, it was registered under Fleur's name. And I said, why are you asking me that question? I'm going to my house. He said, oh, I'm asking you because I seen a male driving a car registered to a female. So I'm thinking, why did you even run the number plate in the first place? Mm. So you saw a car driving on the motorway.
What's
the reason why for you to run the number plate in the first place?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm like, it's my wife's car. But like, he said, yeah, but I'm just checking that a car wasn't stolen. He said, you would have liked to know that, you know, somebody's checking that your car is stolen. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, but why would you even run the number plate in the first place? Like, funny enough, I was driving safely. I was doing everything. But I just said to him, he said, I don't go to bed.
Funny enough, they've never done that to me. So we used to get, Bev used to be an ambassador for Audi.
Yeah.
So, and the car was registered to Audi and them, you know, Bev, you know, my name was just a driver on, you know, and I never used to get pulled in like $100,000 car.
But he followed me. He followed me.
Exactly.
And he said, I've been following you for a while.
I never got pulled and we had a new car every or 12 months.
That's what I'm saying. And he followed me. He said, I've been following you for a while. So that means for you in the first place to run the number plate, follow me all the way, wherever you were following me for, to my house. But at the end of the day, I looked at it and I'm like, you know what? I didn't want to get into anything. I just said, listen, I want to go home. It's late, man. It's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you, bro. I'm tired. Let me just go to bed. And he's like, thank you, blah, blah. I left. I'm like, you know, those kind of things happen.
Yeah.
And when I was young, I've been through a lot of things as being a black boy in Paris and stuff like that. You know, I had things with, it's very tough. You know what I mean? But, and a lot of people going through it. But I always said the problem is not even black people up here. It's here. Like, it's the average black person that going through, like, racism, getting, like, you know, profiled every single day. Those are people we got to fight for.
Yeah.
But change will happen.
Bev's had it bad, like really bad.
Yeah.
And if I ever find the taxi driver, if you're out there, we're gonna talk.
Yeah, but being in the music industry, like, just to be honest, you know what I mean? Like, people like Bev, and you know, like, you got to look at the music industry as a whole. And a lot of people don't like to talk about it, it's just the truth.
So,
man,
like, that's an interesting point. So what's your, we're in a unique position that we're both with, you know, strong black women in the music industry who've had, you know, success and, you know, Fleur's had not as long a career as Bev, obviously she's not as old, you know, but she's had a huge amount of success, and then, you know, different things have happened. Obviously she had probably a hit first off because she had her other band that probably, I don't know what happened to them.
I mean, those just like a younger version. But obviously her whole career changed when she was X Factor. It's up and down, and you know, she was a big label. She went to America, she toured, did, you know, stadiums, big things. But at the end of the day, like, the whole situation with Psycho was just a mess, man. It's like, basically, you come out from bringing a single, like, being like a platinum single, like, you know, like, album sells, everything makes sense. And then you come back to the same people, be like, okay, cool, you know what, right? Like, what's next? And they're like, oh, like, yeah, wait. Like, they start putting in the studio, and then you feel like you've been putting a shelf for no reason. When, I'll be honest, if you actually look at Fleur's first album, it's probably, like, in Psycho, Sax is probably the most sing song they had for the past 20 years. Like, even now, her album gets synced like crazy. Like, and everything she's done, like, everything at that time. But it's just, they just let her on the show. Like, they, and you had artists that they had that they just keep pushing. And you've seen that every day, and it's hard. It's but it's just not her as per se. Like, you look at Beverly, you look, like, just talent in general. Like, if you look at the music industry, where do we stand? The biggest selling rapper is Eminem. Adele was like, yo, you have Ed Sheeran, you have, I'm not knocking the talent, but I'm just saying, like, in average, if you black, you have to work 20 times harder than, like, if that's just the reality. Let's not lie to each other and be like, oh, you know, if you're black, you have to look good, you have to work hard, you have to dance, you have to do
everything, like, I
you know what I mean,
like, everything, there has to be like a perfect storm.
That's what I'm saying. If you, whether,
particularly as a female, and I've seen it, it's weird that Bev's educated me on certain things, right, and I've and she's shown me stuff, even like how they write about women in the newspapers. Like, they'll write a woman's age, but they won't write a man's age. Little things like that, you think, well, I'd never noticed that before, but fuck,
it's subliminal.
That's a thing.
You don't pay attention, it's subliminal. I always said it's a media's fault.
And that's with the race thing as well, you know. It's like, it we don't always notice it because we, you know, if we're, it, like, as a white guy, you don't think, oh, you know, you're not looking at it because it doesn't affect you. But then I always say that as soon as it affects you, something that you love, then you
see it. That's how the brain,
everything comes,
makes sense,
enhanced. Every sight becomes enhanced, and you're like, and then you start looking, watching people, how they act and how they look and the looks they give, and then it's like,
that's
okay,
the brain, man. When you look at the whole industry, it's like, man, it's crazy, man.
Bro,
I ain't gonna lie, no disrespect, I think Adele is amazing, bro. If you go to church on a Sunday, you can find 20,000 people that I can just put her to sleep, man. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, but there's so many elements and things when you look at, like, the big top selling, the this and that and that. You look at the whole industry and you're just like, the talent is so immense, but like, it's not recognized as it should be. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, because it's a corporation. Let's say if you're a white person, you rap and you're like, oh my God, how amazing you are. If you're a white person, you sing soul, rap, R&B, oh my God, how amazing you are. But when you're black, you're doing it, you're like, it's just another, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. So that it's not recognized equally as it should be. And then we're not given the same opportunity. Like, when you're the person of color, you got to work harder. And somebody's going to look at, oh, but look at Beyonce, she's doing good. Or look at this person. But I'm like, that's not the point.
Yeah, but that's not, you can't just, but it's,
you know what I mean? That's not the point. That's not what I'm trying to explain to you. That's not actually the point. That's what I'm trying to say to you. That's not the point.
Yeah.
But obviously, but it's a tough industry, and then you got to make the most of it. And I always said to her, listen, and we grateful for everything, because, like, you got to remember, you little girl from Wotum, so you managed to be where you are. And then gratitude is the attitude. That's what I always said, you know?
Yeah.
You got to learn to appreciate everything you have in order to get more.
You've also got to in some ways, there's a balance of being super grateful and satisfied with what you've got at the moment, but also never being satisfied, you know, in a level. You can't ever be dissatisfied and just be upset all the time, mad at everyone.
That's not the way. You can't be,
but never quite be like, well, I can get more, I can do better, I can help more, I can be better, I can, all of those things.
I would say you got to worry about what you control.
Yeah.
That's my thing. The ethos is like, worry about what you control. And the rest will fall in place. Yeah. If you don't control something, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, yeah. I imagine, I don't know much about Bev in terms of like who she is as a person, but like I know Fleur, she worked hard, she's dedicated. She's always nice to everybody, never had an issue with nobody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everywhere she goes, you're like, oh my God, yeah.
We know, you know, this is why I wanted to get you on it, because our lives are very similar in a lot of ways of, you know, of situations we're in, and I'm sure we've been in, and all of that with our wives, you know, and it's mad that what we have to watch them go through sometimes.
It's hard, it's tough. But that's why you got to be the strong person to be there and hold their head when,
are
you, you know.
Are you more protective of her, you know, because she's in the music industry, or because she's, you know, how do you feel when she's in those situations? Because, like, for me, when Bev does a new show or something, I get a bit angry. Wow. I know it's a weird thing, right? I've said this before. But I get a bit moody because I'm stressed that people aren't going to like it, or someone or someone's going to say something.
Oh no! So I get a bit grumpy. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I get what you mean. But the thing is, I'm really, because we do everything together.
Yeah.
So me and her, like, you know, like the music, we work together. Like, for example, the last album, I pretty much A&R'd it, put it together. Oh, wow. I did all the music video. I helped put together all the songs. So we pretty much like produced it and did it together. Yeah, yeah. So it's very personal in a way.
And have you found that becoming more of like, because you had your designer by what you kind of got into, aren't you? Yeah. And you had your own line and your own shop, you know, everything. You know, I remember, because we went snowboarding years ago, didn't we? You know, and it was, you know, we it's were funny, talking. Right? Yeah, man, that was a long time ago.
I know, crazy,
man. Yeah. And by the way, he didn't go snowboarding.
Nah, I did not.
But you got a bad hip.
I got a bad hip, so it's not. That's the reason.
Exactly. I let him off. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what we're telling everybody.
Yeah, that's the reason why.
It's just, you know, it's a mad industry, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's tough. It's very tough. And I think you have to be built a certain way to survive in this industry. And the talent is immense out there. And I always said it's kind of like the 1%. You have like all these people that want to be singer, but there's only a few that will make it to that level. And then for her for Bev,
stay there.
Yeah, stay there. And that's maintain it. And then for her, for Bev, like the only thing is like, you sometimes they might look at him and be like, oh yeah, you know what? I could have been bigger. I could have done this. And you like, for example, we might go to like the I don't know, let's say the ceremony where the singers again all this award, and you're looking at them like, man,
the Grammys or something.
Like, you're like, I'm better than this.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can do better. Yeah. I like, come on, I can smash this person. You look at the performance and you're like, I can do this in my sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, but you don't get the reward that these people are getting. But you also have to understand, like I always said, is each of their own. Only God gives, only God takes. That's my philosophy in terms of like, what is yours, and what is not is not. And this is where you're supposed to be at. You know, and this is
now.
You know,
yeah, now. This is where you're supposed to be now. Doesn't it's a season. It's a season. Yeah, you, yeah. You know, it's like that's the thing. You've got to still try and attain that huge. You've got to have them massive goals. You've got like when you know Bev, whoever, you know, they look at like Grammy winners or whatever. They've got to think, well, that's where I'm going to be, or Oscar winners.
It just
whatever.
Depends how you see it as well. And I always say it's a matter of perspective, because it's like. Like lockdown, I've thought a lot of things. It's like, you gotta, as an artist, you gotta look at yourself as a business, and like you're the CEO of this company. So I don't really look at it no more. Like, you have to be realistic also. It's like, okay, cool, you got here. Like, this is the asset that I have. How can I capitalize on it? What can I do to bring me revenue stream? I got here like through hard work, and this music has allowed me to be where I am in this position now.
Yeah.
So like, if I don't get single hits and that's going to be on the radio and blah, blah, that's cool. But I've managed to gather this amount of followers. I've managed to know these people, build this connection, this relationship. So how can I build a brand around me so that I know that brand is going to be sustainable in like 50, 20, 40 years? It don't matter what happened if the music doesn't work out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I always see it. Yeah, because I was talking to my friend Ali Tennant, a great guy actually. And he wrote a lot of songs for like JLS. He did work with Jesse J, does The Voice.
Right.
And he looked at me, he's like, yo, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's just the truth. This music, you got to look at it as a passion. Because you have to be realistic. When I'm saying, like, in the music industry, there's a lifespan in a way. It's like you get to a certain age, certain point where you know, no matter how hard you try, no matter how amazing your music is, people are not going to really, you know, like, fuck with it in a way. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's not just gonna be, you're not gonna be on,
that's what I'm saying.
Like Madonna, she's not gonna be on Radio One. She's not.
Exactly. Yeah. It is what it is, because your time has passed. Yeah. But you can do this music.
But
still,
they do that particularly to women. It's like women is like,
because you're women, so they're like, you gotta look
beautiful. And black.
Ah, that's what I'm saying. Because you're a black woman, you gotta look beautiful, you gotta be this. It's tough.
It's like super.
And that's just the reality. So you gotta face it. And for them is understanding, grasping the idea. Like, and I feel like Fleur, I've accepted it. She's like, okay, cool. Now you know what? I'm doing the music. She's doing the radio. She's doing this. She's doing that. So we're building a brand now. We're not any more focused on, like, you know what? I need a number one hit. I want to be this pop star.
Yeah.
And then also, why are you doing music in the first place? Yeah. Are you doing it because of a passion, or are you doing it for fame? Flo doesn't care about fame. She can work here and just be, that's what I'm saying. She does not care at all. It just happened to happen that she did it, but all she wanted to do was music.
Yeah.
So it's just understanding that aspect. But it's tough. Exactly
what you said was half Bev. From when she was three, all she wanted to be was a singer. Just a singer.
Yeah.
And yes, she did her theatre stuff when she was younger, and then now has got into it. But all she wanted to do was sing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that she didn't want to, you know, be a presenter on TV or be this or that. And it's taken her a lot of years to change her focus and, you know, like you say, and do and grow. Like,
build your
like
brand.
All of us. Yeah, we have to grow and change. It's important, and do, you know. And
you got
to
evolve. And I think, like, if you're an artist or especially anything that you are, if you don't evolve, you die.
Yeah.
And then you got to understand, if the music doesn't work out, you got to figure out other ways. But use your tool and use what you have in order to evolve. So don't just focus on, okay, cool, you know what, like, I want to have a number one album every day. Because most of, we know, man, a lot of these numbers are bumped up and it's like some machine behind it. They got to spend a lot of money and music
and industry, then what you end up making from it anyway is
music,
like,
industry have changed, man. Like, the music have changed drastically, and then like how numbers and everything have been moved on, and you know, like, it's different. Like, you see, oh, this person got a billion stream.
I'm like, what does that equate to?
Not just that, but is he actually true that they got a billion stream? Yeah. Is he just it's like fake until you make it.
Yeah.
So it's that image of like, oh, this person, and you see all these people are big and doing this, and you know, so it's just perspective. But we have accepted it, and we understand that this is what we are, and this is our position, and how can we make the most of it, and how can we take the smart decision, and how can we build a business, a sustainable business, that's going to allow us not to have to worry in like 20, 30 years about like, yo, you know what, if I don't have a song out.
That's just good. Yeah. That's just like good, solid advice for anyone. Like, any important kids out there or anyone, just get whatever you're doing, get the brand right, and then everything will follow. Get the ethos of what you're doing in life. For all of us, get what you're doing in life right, and everything will follow. Do it for the right reason, isn't it? And that to me is a winner. So what are you guys up to? What's going on at the moment?
At the moment, Flo is actually filming a show in Scotland. She's rowing for like 4 weeks.
Rowing.
Yeah.
Hold on.
It's called.
The water.
It's crazy. Yeah, rowing. Like, today she's gonna row for 24 hours. So like, it's called this new show on ITV.
How is she with swimming?
She's decent. She's a good swimmer.
She don't mind.
She doesn't mind. So she's called Don't Rock the Boat.
Right.
So
so
you got it. They got like 12 celebrities. That's like basically going. But it's a serious show, not serious, but it's like very challenging mentally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're gonna see how you know, like, team player. So it's been she's there with like some athletes and, you know, like Olympians and, you know, singers. So she's been filming for 2 weeks. She's back. Yeah, she's back in.
When's it airing?
I think just before I'm a Celebrity.
Okay.
Yeah, it's ITV. It's a primetime TV. It's ITV. Yeah, ITV One. It's like primetime. So it's good. It's just. Brilliant. That's the thing that we're gonna get in this year. We have like a couple of projects that we're working on, like brand wise, and you know, obviously she got a radio show. She just started a new podcast as well.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it's going well. Yeah,
it's doing good. I think it was number five, like last week or something like that. Yeah, so she did.
It's good because she's got the radio show.
Yeah, the radio show pushing it. Yeah, so she's done with Bauer. So that's been, you know.
I'm gonna have to get onto her to push this as well.
Yeah,
I'll be like,
we're just trying to put different things in place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we can have.
Yeah.
To me, the dream is like, you can work from anywhere in the world. You ain't got to worry about anything. You don't slave of you from your work.
You don't have to be in London or where, you know, paying your laptop and still, you know, mortgage.
That's
ours as well now, mate. That genuinely is to try and get that. Obviously, Bev's a little bit different. She's in the theatre stuff, but she loves that. And that's again another avenue she had to look down to go, this is coming. Can I go and do that? And luckily, she's been well received, and there's some good things.
She's amazing, man. Her voice is insane, to be honest, it's just one of a kind.
Likewise, I think we're lucky boys.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm a lucky man. I don't know about you.
Mate, I'm blessed, I'm lucky stars. Well, listen, mate, I'm super grateful for you coming on, brother.
I'm super grateful for you having me. I'll be coming back here definitely pretty soon. Don't worry.
Do it, mate. You know, I'm I don't know how this is, I don't know how I'm going to move it on, but who knows, I might go different plus ones. I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but let's talk definitely.
I love everything. I love the setting. Sweet, and I think, man. Yeah, I can bring you some business
too. Love it, mate. Brilliant. Appreciate it. Good to see you, man. Thanks so much. Top man. Nice one. Thank you.